Let's learn, let's learn. Okay, we're up to the third Agartha in Perek Hamocher Es HaSvina in Bava Basra. So we learned about the waves. We learned several Agartas about Rava Rachana at sea. And now we're going to learn a very different Agartha about a demon. Okay, so let's see. We're going to read from the top of the page. Amar Rabba, Rava Bar Rachana said, there are 21 stories, by the way, in Perek Hamocher Es HaSvina. Most of them are Rava Bar Barchana stories. Not all of them, but we're up to the third one. So let's see. Amar Rava Lididi Chazi Li Hormin Bar Lil. I say the name of a shade demon. Hormin, the son of Lamed Yod Taf. That's a that we don't usually pronounce. We say Lil. So I saw Hormin, the son of this Koach of Tuma, this female Koach of Tuma. Kikarot akufya deshura de mechoza. That he was running on the edge of the shura of the wall of mechoza. Mechoza, right? Like Gemara sometimes talks about Masa Mechoza, the very famous town of Mechoza. So I saw this demonic creature running along the wall of Mechoza. Virahit Parsha, and there was a cavalryman who was running alongside as well. Kirachiv chevasa mitatoi, and he was riding. This fellow was riding on an animal down below. Right. So imagine you have this Hormin running on top of the wall, and you have some guy on a horse down below. Velo yachale, and he wasn't able to keep up with him. Who wasn't able to keep up with it? We'll see. Zimlachada one time, have a misargon le tarte kudanyase. They saddled for him two mules. Okay, Hormin, I guess, requested these two mules should be prepared for him. The Kaiman Atre Gishre de Rognug. And he stood them, they positioned these two mules on two sides of a river known as, or a bridge, a river known as Rognug. Okay, later we'll see its name is called Donug. Not sure exactly what the name of this. But these two mules on two sides of a river. Vishavar mehai lahai mehai lahai. And Hormin, this demonic creature, was jumping back and forth from one side to the other side, one side to the other side. Kept jumping back and forth, back and forth. I guess on top of these two mules, on both sides of the river. Vinokit tre mizge de chamer biyadei. And he had two cups of wine, two full cups of wine. Right? Tre means two, mizge de chamer, full cups of chamer means wine in his hands. Umorik mihai lahai umihai lahai, and he kept pouring the wine back and forth as he's jumping across. Right, as he was jumping, he's pouring the wine back and forth from one cup to the other. Velo natva nitoifta laara, and not one drop fell to the ground. It's a good trick. Va'osu hayom, and that day yalu shamayim yerdu sahomos. That day, it was a stormy day. Again, quoting Tehillim Perek Kovzayin, which is again, the psukim that describe sort of a person's adventure at sea. Hodla Hashem Kito, thank you Hashem for all the travels of this world. On that day, it was Yalu Shemayim Yerdu Sahomos, right? Like we described last time, the waves which rise up high and come crashing down. It was a stormy day when this was all happening. What does that have to do with anything? Weather report, while Horman's pouring the wine back and forth from one cup to the other. Adishamu Be'malchus of Akatlu, and the word got out to the king. The reports came back to the palace that Horman's causing trouble, and they went out and they killed him. Arkan, the magnificent story of Rava Bar Barchana. Okay? So who is Hormin? Who is this cavalryman running alongside the walls of Mechoza? And what was he doing? These tricks, pouring wine, jumping back and forth from two sides of the river, and why is he doing it on the seemingly jumping on the backs of mules from one side to the other? What's going on here? Okay, so let's see. The Bir Hagra. Amar Rabba Lididi Chazi Li Hormin Bar Lil. In Yano. Shenamar V'Hivdila HaParoches Lachem. Now, one of the things, again, that I would say the two people, the two tzaddikim who I've seen, I guess, from the Torah that I've learned, a little bit of Torah that I've learned, who seem to be the greatest at this, are Rabbi Nachman and the Vilna Gaon, who I mentioned both have Perushim on these Agaritas and Bava Basra. They both have this awesome ability to they just know Tanakh forwards and backwards. It's so crazy. The way that the Vilna Gaon is weaves together this whole complex and mysterious Agarata by pulling a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, a pasuk from Iyov, and a pasuk in Koheles, and there's the bekiyas in Tanakh to know the psukim so cold that, like, oh yeah, that reminds me of three words in Mishle that's going to answer this whole Agarata. It's just mind blowing. I can't tell you how long it takes me just to try to prepare the piece so I could try to give it over to you, and just working through the psukim. I don't know Iyov Perek Lamed Zayin like well enough to know what it's talking about. I have to look it up, you know? It's just, the Gro had it all at his fingertips. It's really mind-blowing. So he starts with the pasuk that maybe we will recognize from Chumash. In Yano Shenemar, we can explain, based on what it says in the pasuk, V'hivdila ha-paroches lachem, ben ha-kodesh u-ben kodesh ha-kadashim. We have a paroches, we have a divider, a curtain that separates the kodesh and the kodesh kadashim of the Mishkan. But Amru b'Zohar, the Zohar says, every person is, of course, a little miniature Beis HaMikdash. We're all a little Mishkan. Which means that we also have a divider separating our Kodesh and our Kodesh Kadashim. Which part of us is our Kodesh Kadashim? Which part of us is Kodesh? Says the Zohar, Shehu Chatzar HaKoved. This refers to the Chatzar HaKoved. Now, the Koved is the liver. The Chatzar HaKoved means the diaphragm. So sort of the midriff of a person. Right? The Zohar says the Paroches, imagine a paroches, maybe that's why we wear a gartel, right? A paroches, cutting a person sort of in half, separating, says the Zohar, shehu mavdil bein klei hakol, shu kodesh kadashim, separating from the instruments or the vessels that produce sound, namely my lungs and upward, my lungs, my mouth, right? Obviously the ideas that are formulated in my mind, which I'm then able to speak. So sort of the upper part of myself, from my lungs, and upward to produce sound, to produce air and breath, right? That's all Kodesh Kadashim. That's the part of myself that's miyuchad l'Torah u'l'tfila, to use the air within me to produce sounds of Torah, words of Tfila. Okay, turn the page. Uvein klei achila shehem magam ken Kodesh. And of course, what's below my liver? My stomach. Which we're saying is what? It's not Kodesh Kadashim, but it's also Kodesh. It's also holy. Eating is not just animalistic. Eating is also holy. Let's see. Shehema gam ken kodesh. Ki hu mitzvas asei. Because your body, taking care of your body, sustaining your body, I'm talking about just the physical part of your body, is a mitzvah, says the Gra. Kamaimer hila, like Hillel HaZaken said, ligmol chesed lahada aluvta. When he was once leaving, his student said to him, where are you going, Hillel? And he said, I'm going to perform chesed with a certain aluvta, desperate person, I guess. And they said, who are you talking about? What are you talking about? He said, oh, I have someone who's staying by me. I have a guest who's staying by me. I need to take care of the guest. Well, what are you talking about? Who are you talking about? So he said, I'm talking about my neshama. My neshama is my guest in my body. And I have to make sure that the accommodations are nice. So the body has to be well, you know. You're checking in, the neshama checks into the hotel, which is your body. You want to make sure you have a nice room. You got to make sure the body's good. So taking care of your body is also what? It's also Kodesh. It's not Kodesh Kadashim. It's not Torah and Tefillah, but it's also holy. You need to take care. You need to make sure that the Neshama has a nice adventure in this world. Now, V'lakach Amar HaHumina, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Adaf Lamed Tes says that one time Amemar was asked the following question, or was told by a certain heretic, a certain Persian wizard, said to Amemar. He said, the upper part of a person is created by one creature, and the lower part of a person is created by another creature, or you know, by one god and another god. Right? The upper part of a person comes from a certain creature, a certain, you know, spirit, and the lower part of a person comes from Hormin. That was the shade that's running on the wall. So this Min, this heretic, said to Amemar in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, "Mipalga ulitatoi da Hormin." The lower part of a person comes from Hormin. The lower half of a person comes from Hormon. Nira, Shavatzalomar, Mipal Gula Ela, what this Persian wizard in the Gemara in Sanhedrin was saying is that I can agree that the top part of a person is a holy thing. But come on, the lower parts of a person, you're no different than an animal. You eat like an animal, you go to the bathroom like an animal, you procreate like an animal. You're no different than an animal. So he was saying, I understand, we have to view a person as a divided being. Right? There's two parts of a person. There's a part that's very elevated. There's a part that's very, very lowly. Mipalgu le'ela, the upper half of a person, modeshu miyuchad l'kadosh baruch hu. I could agree that that part is somewhat godly. Right? Comes from holy sources. Aval mipalgu ulatata, but the half, ulatata and below, the hormon, comes from hormon. It's demonic. It's animalistic. It's evil. K'mo shenamar b'zacharya, v'chi sochlu v'chi sishtu, halo atema ochlim v'atema shosim. Like the Navi says in Zechariah, if a person eats and a person drinks, is he not the one who's eating and he's not the one who's drinking? Meaning, come on, let's sort of like, let's call a spade, right? Don't pretend it's something other than it is. It's gashmius. It's gashmius. It's not holy. What did that Maimar say back to him in the Gemara? He said back to this Persian wizard, this heretic, Amar Lei, E. Efshar. You can't view a person, Chavi, you can't view yourself as two entities. There's a part of me that's godly and a part of me that's animalistic. You have to find a way to what? To make it into a wholesome, singular being. Hashem made you. It's not like a mistake that your neshama ended up in a body and like the whole life is a fight. My body wants one thing, my neshama wants another thing, and they're always fighting and they're two different worlds. You have to try to reconcile the worlds. Yes, my neshama is kodesh kadosh, but my body's also kodesh. Engaging in gashmis is also kodesh if done properly. So Amemar says back to him, Iafshar, you can't say such a thing. De'im kain lo shavik leila avure. If the upper world and the lower world weren't connected, so how could it be that the same mouth that is used to speak Torah and to daven words of tefillah is the same part of the body where I put the food in that travels all the way down to my bowels, to my stomach? Eventually, you know, the psolas, when a person relieves himself in the restroom. How could it be that the food comes from the upper part down to the lower part? Right? How could it be? Look at the words. If that was so, that it was two separate domains, Lo shavik leila avure, then the God or whatever you believe of the upper part wouldn't allow it to pass through the upper part into the lower part. Right? It wouldn't allow michli umishte, it wouldn't allow food and drink to pass through. And therefore, vihine ha'achila v'hashasiya, the eating and the drinking, munachan mipalga ulamata, it's true. It resides primarily, the food is primarily the avoda of the lower part, the more animalistic part of a person. But when we look at a person as a singular entity, yes, there's a separation, there's a division between Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim, just like there was in Beis HaMikdash. But it's all called Beis HaMikdash, it's all a holy place, and therefore we have to learn to what? We have to learn how to use, so to speak, the lower part of ourself in a way that is Kodesh. Okay? So let's start again. So Rabbah says what? I saw all this was just to introduce us to who is Hormon. What else does the Gemara... Hormon represents, again, the lower part of a person, the more animalistic part of a person. Again, the Yetzirah, which is an energy that can be harnessed and used in a holy way if used properly. Okay. But here's the problem. Says the Gra in the next paragraph. Aval yesh b'nei Adam shegam torasan umaseyan einon elol hispire. If the goal is to take the lower part of a person and to lift it up and to make it into something holy, we sometimes do the exact opposite. We take the upper part of a person and we use it in a perverse way. We use our Torah, we use our tefillah for all the wrong reasons. We use our koach hadibur for the wrong reasons. We use our machshava for all the wrong reasons. There are people who take Torah and all of their actions, all of their Torah and mitzvos, is what lehispire, is for their own kavod. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Last time we spoke a lot about gaiva and kas. Tonight we're going to talk about kavod and taiva. It's all rooted. It's all one sugi. It's all gaiva also. Right? The gaiva of a person who uses Torah in a self-serving way. But there are people, again, who nebuch, they take all of their... people. I'm blaming it on people. We're the people. We're also the people. Right? We're also the people. Right? Maybe we're at this shir right now for the wrong reasons. Maybe I'm giving this shir for the wrong reason. Right? We're trying. We're trying to be close to Hashem. There's sometimes we learn and sometimes we do mitzvos because I don't know, because we like the kavod. We want someone to say, oh, you're a stark guy. It's a ben Torah. You get a good shidduch. I don't know, whatever ulterior motives might motivate us to want to be, you know, to play the part. So that's a perversion. Va'amru alayan b'zohar shehein misitra de'erav rav. This is like the Erev Rav. Were there ever faker Jews in history than the Erev Rav? The Erev Rav that jumped on the bandwagon to escort Klal Yisrael, once the Jewish people got, you know, kind of chosen by Hashem and taken out of Mitzrayim on the way to Har Sinai, the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude, who thinks they can just jump on the bandwagon. Oh, now all of a sudden you're a, you know, now all of a sudden you're like a Tom Brady fan. Like, yeah, he was always my guy. Oh, yeah? Always your guy? Always a guy like before he won Super Bowls? Lahavdil. You know, but there's people who, you know, who invest in the company early, BMS. And there's people who afterwards say, oh yeah, I knew it was gonna be a great stock. Oh, I knew it was a great company, I know, right? So there's unfortunately the Erev Rav. Erev Rav is a person who just tries to go with the flow and fit in with the crowd and to try to choose the popular opinion after it's popular. It's not emistic and it's not sincere and it's not l'shem shamayim. And the Zohar says the Erev Rav are the children of this negative koach of tumah, this female koach of tumah called lamed yud tuf. Rabbi Nachman talks a lot about it. Lamed yud tuf is gematria talmud. Because when a person learns Torah, again, you encounter this demonic being which tries to ruin our Torah and make us learn to become Bali Gaiva and for all the wrong reasons. So sometimes people, again, are engaged in what appears to be religious pursuits. Forget all the silly examples I just gave. But a person is engaged in religious pursuits. Why? Self-serving. Totally self-serving. I'm joining the good team because it's the good team. Ha'omrim nase lanu shem. Where a person says, come, let's make a name for ourselves. Why do I want to help out building the shul in the neighborhood? You know why? Because I'm a big gevir, I'm going to give a lot of money, and I'm going to put my name on the building, and everyone who walks in the building is going to say, oh, look, this is the Weinberg Jewish Center. Right? How about Hashem's Jewish Center? Right? So why do I give the money? Is it about Kvod Shemayim, or it's about me? So Nasa Lanu Shem. Baninon Bei Knishta, come, let's build the shul. Batei Midrashos. Vishavian Bahon Sefer Torah, Vatara Reishoi. Let's make a Sefer Torah, a crown on the head, a beautiful base medrash. Velo Lishma Da Hashem, El Lamevad Lan Shem. But it's not for Hashem's honor, it's to make for myself a great name. That people could say, wow, he's such a generous person. Hadahu Dichsiv Nasa Lanu Shem. Sounds familiar, that pasuk? Reishis Perak Yud Aleph. Yeah, let's make for ourselves a name. Let's wage war against God. Right? A person could think that they're doing something very religious, but it's an utter perversion. It's attacking God. Hashem says, keep your money. Don't come to the base medrash to be a bal gaiva so you can look down on the guy next to you who doesn't know how to learn as well as you. That's what you're hoping to do? Just to make sure that you're a page ahead of the guy next to you and, you know, in Bekiah Seder, so that you can feel like a big shot. So unfortunately, sometimes the upper part of ourselves, the part that's supposed to be the most pure, becomes dragged down, becomes corrupted, all these ulterior motives. V'im kein hu kulo dehormin. So then what? Instead of being, like the Persian wizard says, the upper part is godly and the lower part is animalistic, sometimes, God forbid, we become entirely hormin. We enter the world of hormin completely. Afmi palga le'ela, the top part of ourselves. I saw how an animalistic desire, how olam hazeh desires, right, could give birth, could emerge even in the spiritual realm. An Erev Rav. You could be a Jew who looks the part 100%, but you're a faker through and through. You're not one bit l'shem shemayim. You're not one bit about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's a scary thing. Now, where was Horman running? He was running on the walls, on the edge of the wall of Mechoza. What do Chazal tell us about the city of Mechoza? Mechoza was a prominent city. But unfortunately, Mechoza had its fair share of problems. Says the Gra, ki karahet akufa deshura de Mechoza. He's running on the edge of the wall of Mechoza. Al derech to amru, va'aleim amru chana. Like it says in the Gemara, that Chana said, Hashem yechatu mirivav, amr Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avin, upneyen domin kishule kedera, va'amr Rava ve'inan mishapire shapire de b'nei Mechoza, Umikaryan b'nei Gehenim. Hashem will chop down, Hashem will destroy and uproot the opposition. Says the Gemara, who is the opposition? It's individuals who pretend to engage in spiritual pursuits and really p'neihem domin kishule kedera, their face is black like the bottom of a pot that's against the fire on the stove. And Rava says, it's the best of b'nei Mechoza. The most handsome, the most reputable, Shapira literally means the most beautiful, but it means the most reputable people of Mechoza are going to go to hell. That's what the Gemara says. Shapire, Shapire de b'nei Mechoza, u'makaryan b'nei Gehenim. Why? Why are the people of Mechoza b'nei Gehenim? Perish Shapire, says the Gra. You know what Shapire means? Shekol ma'aseyem eina ela lehisnaos bahem. They just want to look the part. Shapire. Shapire means they're handsome. They want to look good. They think it's cool. It looks good to be a person who walks around with his Baba Basra under his arm. Right? That's the trend. That's the thing. That gets the shidduch. That gets the Rebbe's attention. Right? That gets the friends to say, oh wow, he's so from. He stays up so late learning. It's all gaiva. It's all kavod. It's all taiva in a certain sense. So Shapire, the Shapire Mechoza means a person who's in the... Mechoza was a very firm city. But Shapire Mechoza means those people who, again, all of their actions are just to look good. They're just trying to play the part. Va'osin kardom lachpor v'hem. And they turn the Torah into what? Into like a kardom. It's like a spade, a shovel, a pickaxe, right? Just to carve out a little place for themselves in this world. What about God? What's left with Hashem? Where's the Lishma? Va'amru v'bava basra. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Daf Zayin, Ani Choma, I am a wall, Zotora. Vishadai Kemigdalos, and my breasts are like towers, Elu Talmidei Chachamim. Right? The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, describing the strength, right, of a person who's a person of Torah. You're beautiful, and you're powerful, and you're tall, and you're strong. Right? But what happens when Horman is running on the wall of Mechosa? That means that what? That means that your Torah has been totally corrupted. Right? The demonic beings have overtaken your Torah. Your Torah is not l'shem shemayim. That's what it means, derat akufa deshur de mechoza, running on the edge of the wall of mechoza. Ratzalomar, b'nei mechoza, talmidei chachamim shel mechoza, like the Gemara said, are b'nei gehenim. Are not, they're Erev, it's the Erev Rav. It's Horman, the son of Lamed Yud Tav. It's just klipa, it's sitra achra, it's yitzhar hara. It's all ulterior motives and biases and self-serving desires. Ha'oskim b'torah li'isna'us b'hem. It's all a destructive Torah. We forget this sometimes. The Gemara says in Yoma, Torah can either be the greatest medicine or it can be poison. Torah is not automatically objectively good. Torah could be asam ha'chayim, or the Gemara says asam ha'misa, which literally means poison. Torah can kill you. Torah can make you much worse. The Vilna Gaon actually writes in one of his other svarim. The Vilna Gaon said that Torah ain't mayim ala Torah. Torah is compared to water. So the Gra said very simple. He said it depends what you're watering. If you're watering produce, some produce is going to grow. If you're watering beautiful flowers, then beautiful flowers are going to grow. And if you're watering weeds, then weeds are going to grow. Right? If you're watering weeds, then the field is just going to get harder and harder to plant. So Torah is water, it causes growth, but what's growing? Am I just growing my Yetzirah bigger and bigger? Am I growing my bad midos bigger and bigger? That's why I need to be a Baal Midos Tova. So I'm a bad person, and I just keep pouring Torah. I just become a bigger Baal Gaiva, and a bigger Kavod seeker, and a bigger phony. So that's a very scary thought. So now, that's Horman running on the wall of Mechosa. So who's the guy on the horse down below? I keep saying horse. The Gemara just says chevasa, a certain animal. Who's the cavalryman who's riding on the, you know, alongside the wall down below? V'rahit parsha ki rachiv chevasa mitusei v'lo yachalei. Right? Who's riding down below? Who's riding down below? Says the Gra, shatzadikim v'tamidei chachamim nikraim roichvim. Tzadikim and Talmidei Chachamim are called riders. Why? The Maharal talks a lot about whenever a person is riding on an animal, particularly the Maharal talks about a person who's riding on a donkey, certain scenes in the Torah, riding a donkey, right? A chamor. Chamor is milashon chomer. Chomer means physicality. Riding the donkey means that you're in control of your gashmias, you're in control of your physicality. So Talmidei Chacham and Tzadikim are called riders. In other words, the rider, the one who's riding the horse, the one who's driving the car, he's in control. He dictates where it goes, right? It's his responsibility to make sure that everyone stays safe if you're driving the vehicle, if you're behind the wheel. So Talmidei Chacham are called rochvim. Turn to the top of the next page, Yud Aleph. Kamosha Amru Bechelek, like it says in Sanhedrin, in Parachelek, Esra Glehem Ratzta V'yal'ucha, their feet are hurrying and they are weary. Ve'ech tisachere esasusim. So how could they compete with the horses? If you can't win the race against other people, if you can't win the marathon on foot, so how are you going to win if you're racing against horses? That's what the pasuk says. Again, esraglim ratzav yalucha. Their feet are running and they're getting tired. So eich tisachara esasusim. So how are you going to overcome? How are you going to compete with the horses? What does that mean? Uma b'shvil schar arba psios sheshalamti l'nevuchanetzar sheratz achar kvodi ata tmiya. If you're not even sure how to keep up with Nebuchadnezzar, what's it talking about? Let's unpack a little here. The Gemara says that Nebuchadnezzar, before he became the powerful leader that he was a scribe. He was a court scribe in the court of Merodach Baladan. And Chizkiyahu HaMelech was sick, and Baladan wanted to send a letter to Chizkiyahu. And he wrote a letter saying, Shalom Aleichem, Chizkiyahu, Shalom Aleichem, the city of Yerushalayim, Shalom Aleichem to the Jewish God. Nebuchadnezzar, who was a court scribe, was on lunch break at the time. He comes back from the lunch break, and he says, what did I miss while I was there? Oh, we sent a letter to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Oh, what did you write? Shalom Aleichem, Chizkiyahu, Shalom Aleichem, city of Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem, Jewish God. You put God last? You can't put God last. Nebuchadnezzar, Harasha. I took a lunch break and you guys don't know how to write a letter? You can't put God last on the list. Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to go run after the... You sent the letter? Yeah, we sent it already. I'm going to go run after the person who's delivering the letter. I'm going to catch up and take the letter back. We'll rewrite the letter more properly. Put God at the front. You got to talk about God first. You can't say, Shalom Aleichem to your God as an afterthought. So the Gemara says, Nebuchadnezzar ran and he took four steps. He started running. L'chot Shemayim. He's running on behalf of Hashem. He thought it was a chil Hashem. He ran, he took four steps. A malach came and carried him the rest of the way. Because every step that he was taking was l'shem Shemayim. And he was going to be rewarded. He had rizochet to four generations of royalty because of it. And the Gemara says, had he kept taking steps, he would have been king forever. His descendants would have been the kings forever, and it would have been the end of Klal Yisrael. So he was stopped. But four steps he took. Nebuchadnezzar ran four steps for my honor. Right? Kishani Mishalim Schar La Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov Shiratzim Lefanei Kasusim Alachas Kama V'Kama. Right? If Nebuchadnezzar, right, who's like a Pashto person, is able to get reward for a couple of steps, right? Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, can you imagine? They're strong in their Avodas Hashem like horses, right? So Alachas Kama V'Kama, Alachas Kama V'Kama. How much more so? So what's he saying? He's saying the Talmidei Chachamim represent, again, the person who dominates his body and is able to run for Hashem. But again, who's running faster? Who can't keep up with who? Is it the cavalryman who represents the Talmud Chacham who can't keep up with the Yetzihara? Right? Or is it the Yetzihara who can't keep up with the Talmud Chacham? So let's see what he says. Va'omru, Tana Debei Ravanan, Mai Dichsiv Rochve Asonos Tzichoros, Yoshve Almidin. Those who ride on female donkeys, and those who sit on couches. Rochve asonos elu tamidei chachamim, shaholche meir leir umedina lemedina lilmo Torah, umevaren osak etzarayim. Again, another Gemara, another pasuk that's telling us those who ride on the donkey, those who control, right? Their taiva, so to speak, refers to tamidei chachamim, who travel from place to place, and they're giving shiurim, and they're educating Jews, and they're being makari of people. Viksiv, Malfeinu Mibahamos Eretz. You taught us Mibahamos Eretz, like more so than the animals of the earth. What does that mean? Perish. Shi'alameda Adam min Arashaim, Shidomim b'ma'aseim k'behema. We should learn from those who act like animals. Who can't keep up with who? Who can't keep up with who? The Talmud Chacham can't keep up with Horman. You know why? In the Gemara, again, Horman, which represents a person who's learning for all the wrong reasons, is going to outlearn the guy who's learning for the right reasons. You know why? Because when you're doing something that's driven really by a taiva, or by kavod, or by gaiva, or by yetzahara, you actually find more strength than if you're doing l'shem shemayim. It's much harder to learn. It's hard to keep up if you're learning l'shem shemayim. It's easy to get ahead if you learn for the wrong reasons. It's easy to fake it for the wrong reasons. But if you're really putting emesdik kochos into Torah and avodas Hashem, it is hard to keep up. Now, we have to a little bit learn from that Yetzer Hara and try to bring that into sincere avodas Hashem. Look at the words again. Malfeinu mi bahamos aretz. You taught us from the animals of the earth. Perish. She allowed me to odom min harishom shedom b'maseim kabehema. We should learn from those rishayim whose actions are animalistic. Kamosha amru, as the Gemara says, mina behema lahavi b'nei odom hadom lebehema. You're allowed to bring a carbon from an animal. Comes to include, the Gemara says, people who act like animals. That even wicked people are allowed to bring karbanos, says the Gra. Kimo shehem lom dim tamid, shelo l'shem shemayim b'shkei l'rabba. It's very easy to push yourself to be the last guy in the base medrash, right? If you're doing it just because you want to prove that you're firmer than the other guy, you'll find kochos and nefesh because you're tapping really into yitzhar kochos. You're not learning l'shem. You're not doing it for God. You just want to prove that I can stay up later than this guy, that I can learn more than this guy, that I can have more svarim than this guy. Right? That I could dress more religious than this guy. I could play the part. I could talk more yeshivish than this guy. Kacha tilmod kamo kain kol kach l'shem shemayim. So the same way, right? Learn from the behema. The same way that when a person, forget in learning. Let's just talk about my energy when it comes to averos. Right? Let's talk about the energy that a person has when it comes to averos. When it comes to finding the strength, right? Or just, let's not even call it an avera. Right. And to find the strength to stay up all night, just hanging out with the chevra, that's easy to do, right? But if I told you try to stay up all night learning Gemara, you'll be falling asleep in 2 seconds, you'll be collapsing on top of the Gemara. To sit around chilling with the chevra, no problem. I can do it till 4 a.m. The second you open the Gemara, everyone's yawning. It's an unbelievable thing. There's a famous line from Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller's Zatzal said. He said, "I never saw someone falling asleep over a bowl of ice cream." Right? Think about it. We've all seen this. We've all seen someone sitting, right, a guy sitting in front of a Gemara, head bobbing. Right? Did you ever see someone sitting in an ice cream shop, sitting with Victor Miller, right, with a spoon in his hand and a big bowl of ice cream going like this, dozing off? Never saw it once in my life. Such a chash of a line. Why is it? Why is it that I have the strength to eat the ice cream? I could do it at 4 a.m, but to learn, I'm too tired learning it. And I'm out of energy. What do you want from me, Hashem? So says the Vilna Gaon, we can't keep up with Horman, right? He's not saying it explicitly, but we should learn from that to try to bring some of that into l'shem shemayim. I mean, he sort of is saying it explicitly, but again, it's not only in terms of try to keep up. It's maybe take from those kochos and use them l'shem shemayim. Kizeh kasher la'odam ma'od lilmod b'chefetz v'cheshek l'shem shemayim, because it's not easy for a person to really learn with drive and energy and to do so for Hashem. Ask yourself the question, the guy who loves learning so much and he stays up so late, he loves to be the last guy in the base medrash at night. So ask him, if he was on a desert island and there was no one around to give him kavod, would he stay up as late? If no one saw, if no one said, everyone knows this guy, he's a big learner. If he was all by himself, it was just you and God, would you do it? Would you shuckle as hard during Shemona Esrei if you were totally by yourself? Hard to imagine that we would. Kamosha Amru, as it says in the Gemara, Yehi Ratzon Shetehei Morah Shemayim Aleichem Kamora Basar V'dam. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Halavai, you should believe in what? Hashem, the way you believe in people. And then the Talmidim said, we should believe in Hashem much more. Halavai, you should be as nervous doing a Avera in front of God the way you'd be embarrassed to do that Avera in front of your friend. Va'amr Teidu, and you should know it to be true. Kisha Adam over Avera, Omer Shaloy or any Adam. Because when a person does an Avera, he looks out, makes sure no one's looking. Makes sure no one's watching, no one knows what I'm up to. Right? So it's hard for us to keep up. And that's what he says the Gra, the last two lines on the right column. Vizel Amru, Virahut Parsha, the cavalryman, the one who's riding on the animal, the one who's trying to control his taivas, the Tamil Chacham who's L'shem Shemayim, below Yacholei, Shalo Yachol Lahasigo. He's not able to keep up. Says the Gra, top of the left column, Shalomid Lishma, because to learn Lishma, Koshalo Lilmod Kolkach Mishkei Darabah. It's hard to learn L'shem Shemayim day in and day out, is really hard. Now again, we should borrow a little bit of that taiva from the Yitzhara, but borrow a little bit of the drive of the Yitzhara to get you going. But be careful that your whole religious system is not rooted in chasing after desire. So now, that's part one. And then Horman sets up his two mules on the two sides of the river, and he's jumping back and forth. He's bouncing back and forth between the world of two different meals. Says the Vilna Gaon, Zimna Chada, one time I saw, Hava Mesargin Leitarte, couldn't I say, I saw that he had these two mules, V'kayim and Atrei Gishra de Doinag. It was on two sides of the Donag, the Donag River. Ki ayetzer hara v'chol shluchav umidosav nikram sarisim. Says the Vilna Gaon, let's call out the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is a phony. The Yetzirah will tell you it's geschmack, it's good, it's fun, you'll enjoy it. But at the end of the day, it never satisfies. You're chasing after money, you're chasing after taiva, you're chasing after kavod. You're never satisfied, you always need more. The Yetzirah will never satisfy. It's like a mule. Because a mule is a sterile animal. It can't produce. It's unproductive. It doesn't produce. The activities of the Yetzirah don't actually produce what they claim they're going to produce. It never gives birth to fruit. Eila told us Noach ish tzaddik, right? Told us same shal tzaddikim. What does Rashi say? Are the mitzvahs amaisim tovim? You want fruit? You want peros? You want productivity? It's mitzvahs amaisim tovim. It's never going to deliver the pleasure, the taiva, the claims of the Yetzirah is always going to be like Rabbi Nachman's famous mashal. In Sichas Aran, you know, you're chasing after the Yetzirah, and he's waving his closed fist in front of your face and saying, "Who you want? What's in my hand? What's in my hand?" Finally, you catch up to him. You open up his hand. There's nothing in it. All the chasing for what? Never satisfies. So the Yetzirah and his agents and his midos, his desires, the things that he offers you, are sarisim. Sarisim means sterile. They can't produce. They never deliver. Kamosha amru b'zohar shesires b'livyasana sazachar. That when Hashem, at the beginning of creation, I'm not sure exactly what the Zohar is saying here, but I mean, I know the reference is what the Gemara already says. The Gemara says that Hashem took the large sea creature and he made the male sterile and he killed the female so that they wouldn't reproduce and destroy the world. Again, I'm not sure. The Leviathana I usually associate with something, I guess it's destructive, but it was put aside for the Suda of Mashiach, of Tzaddikim, Masilavo. But I guess, in other words, the idea is that the destructive kochos of the Yetzirah are sterile, right? They never. You can't build the world with the Yetzirah. You can pretend to build yourself up, drive a fancy sports car. It's never gonna do it. It will never do it. It's sterile. It's lifeless. V'chein midosav, he nekron kod naisa, d'lo molidin. It's called mules. Yetzirah is called sterile, and the midos of the Yetzirah is like a mule. A mule can't reproduce. V'zeh inyan benos Lot, and this is the inyan, the cross so cryptic. This is the inyan of Lot's daughters, who became impregnated by their father when they thought the world was over. Kiyadua, right? As it says in the Zohar, and he says, we'll explain a little more later on. Sha'amru v'ish ein ba'aretz levo aleinu. When the daughters of Lot said, there's no one with us to rebuild the world. We'll see what the reference is. Let's keep moving for the moment. Now, what are the two mules? What are the two main kochos of the Yetzirah that a person bounces back and forth between? All of the desires. It's two categories which are rooted in the three midos that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos remove you from this world. V'hein, hataiva, hakina, v'hakavod. Taiva and kina sort of go together. And kavod. So let's just talk about the two, which are three. He's saying taiva and kavod. The two mules are taiva and kavod. Your pursuit of pleasure will never satisfy, and your pursuit of honor, needing someone else to say that you're great and to give you kavod, will never satisfy. Shehein mipalgo ulamata ba'adam. Taiva and kina represent the lower part of a person, right? The taiva, the stomach, right? The os bris kodesh. The desire for sexual cravings, that's all the lower part of a person. Umipalga le'ela ha'kavod. And kavod is not a physical thing. Kavod is actually a very spiritual thing. When someone gives you honor, it's a very, very spiritual thing. Chafetz Chaim talks about it. It's one of the greatest, most spiritual things. And that's why when you take your kavod in this world, it robs you of your olam haba, because it's a very ephemeral, it's a very transcendent thing, kavod. So now we said what happened. We said Horman, right, became sort of the upper part and the lower part. In other words, we have this person, this wannabe Talmid Chacham, he's running on the walls of Mechoza, right, but he's also really bouncing back and forth between these two worlds that don't really solve what he wants in this world. Because everything that he's doing is rooted in Taiva and rooted in Kavod. V'hein mitalmidav migimol midos shel Bilam. And these represent the three traits that says in Pirkei Avos are not the ways of Avram, but the ways of Bilam. Ruach gevoah, a lofty spirit, that means taivas hakavod, a person who, right, bal gaiva, wants kavod all the time. Kamo shapirish harambam. Al ayin ra, that represents kina, jealousy. Nefesh rechava, these are the three traits of Bilam. Nefesh rechava, an expansive spirit, means of always want more and more, that refers to taiva, pleasure seeking. Veruach gevoah, that refers to kavod. Okay? So Horman, a Jew who's again lost his way, is bouncing back and forth. It looks like he's hanging out in Mechoza, but he's the Shapira Mechoza. He's one of those people in Mechoza who does things just for the good appearance. It's not L'shem Shemayim. V'chol inyano shel Horman, hakol al nefesh veruach habahamis shalom. Right? And everything about Horman, as we explained, is all physicality at this point. Turn the page. Kamo she'amru v'medrash. Al Kilion va'arpa, right? Machlon and Kilion and Arpa, the story of Rus. Sheshneim asidin limchos min ha'olam. Kamo she'nemar kidonag mipnei ha'esh, like wax before the fire. The name of the river where Horman's jumping back and forth is Donag. Donag means wax. Right? Wax melts. The second it draws close to the fire, it crumbles, it melts, it dissipates. Va'ondim al yam ha'olam hazeh kamo gesher. So Horman is standing what? He's standing on the water of this world, right? Represented by that bridge that he's, or the two sides of the river, he's jumping back and forth. V'lo doma l'sfina, ki aholech b'iski olam hazeh nidna l'sfina. In the previous stories that we learned, right, the last 2 weeks, we learned about stories that involved boats, right? Because when you're dealing with the boats, we're talking about a person who's involved in business. We're not learning about a businessman today. We're learning about a guy in the Beis Medrash who's a faker. And all of his spiritual aspirations, he spends, he's not going into business, I'm going into chinuch. Right? I'm going into Rabbanus. Yeah, why are you going into Rabbanus? What are you doing? Because you want to bring honor to Hashem? Or you just know that when a rabbi walks in the room, people stand up and you're a kavod, so you love that. You love the geschmack of people standing up for you, like you love kavod. Is it spiritually motivated? A person who's involved in olam hazeh is on the boat. Masha'en ken hazeh sheyoshev bebeisov ha'osek b'torah. Right? As opposed to this one who's in his place learning Torah. So again, Horman is not going into the water. He's on the two sides of the bridge. But he's bouncing back and forth between these two sterile desires. Taiva, kavod, kavod, taiva. Vishavar mehaigis alahaigis, so mehaigis alahaigis. He's jumping back and forth. B'chol pam hu kofetz, pam l'taiva, pam l'kavod. One day he's motivated by his desires, one day he's motivated by his honor-seeking. Then he goes back to his indulgence, then he goes back to his honor-seeking, back and forth. And he has a beautiful pshat. As I explained in my commentary on the Megillah, the Gemara in Maseches Megillah. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah says, Asnuye asnu bahade hadade. The leaders of Paras and Madai made a tanai, they made a condition with one another. Iminon malki minaychu afarche. Whoever wins the election, we appoint the other one as our vice president. Right? If we become the kings, you become the officers. And if you become the kings, then we become the officers. Right? We'll tell you, you'll scratch our back, we'll scratch your back. Right? You'll give us positions of government, we'll give you positions of government. Paras umadai. So says the Gra, who are kings and noblemen, kings and officers? Shehin taiva v'kavod. It represents taiva and kavod. Sarim hamamalim zahav lahem lemalos tavasam. The Pasuk says, he's paraphrasing a Pasuk in Iov. The Pasuk says that noblemen fill their homes with all sorts of gold. So sarim, nobleman represents what? Taiva, taivas mamon, person who wants overindulgence, self-serving desires. And what are malachim? What are kings? Malachim mekom raglam yichabedu. Right? The place of a melech is kavod. So in other words, paras umada, I said, we always go together. We stick together. Taiva and kavod go together. Right? Pleasure-seeking and honor-seeking often go hand in hand. Right? Very interesting. Two terrible midos. V'nokit tre mozga d'chamra biyade umorik mihai lahai. So Horman is pouring the cups of wine back and forth from one to the other without spilling a drop. V'lo notfa netifa la'ara. What does that mean? In yano, kamo sha'amar b'zahar al shtei benos lot. What it says in the Zohar about the two daughters of Lot. By the way, Lot in Aramaic, Lot, means cursed. So So the two daughters of Lot, they said, there's no one for us to have children with other than our father. L'cho nashka savinu yayin. Let's give our father some wine to drink and do this very strange and repulsive act. Shehein shnei kochos. The two daughters of Lot represent these two kochos. Hamisava v'hamisoreres. Hamisava, the taiva, and the misoreres. Shehein misayei and zelizah. And the arousal that leads to the fulfillment of that taiva. Hataiva ba min hamisorer. Right? The desire comes from the thing that awakens that desire. V'hamisorer levado b'lo taiva l'shav yorer. And to awaken the hergish, the feeling, and to not act on it is also in vain. So the wine being poured back and forth represents the two daughters of Lot, right, who gave their father, each gave their father to drink, and it represents, again, awakening a taiva and then acting on that taiva. So Horman thinks, right, I have all these desires, and when I act on them, when I fulfill them, it will satisfy, and not one drop will be lost. What does it mean not one drop will fall to the ground? In other words, he says, V'zeo amru trei mazga, v'lo notva netifa la'ara, shelo asa maisa echad, shelo midas shnei kochos ha'elu. Which Horman's going back, his whole life is going back and forth, taiva to kavod, taiva to kavod, right? Just pouring from one cup to the other, taiva to kavod, without one drop spilling out. V'lo nasan klal alev shesofo la'afar. And not one drop hits the ground. You know what that means? It means never once did this person stop to contemplate the fact that one day you're going to be in the ground. You're not going to live forever. You can numb yourself with all sorts of pleasures, and you can get people to tell you you're so great. You can surround yourself with people who tell you you're so important and you're so chashuv and give you lots of kavod. And not once do you think about the fact that, guess what, buddy, you're baser v'dam. Adam yesodo me'afar v'sofo la'afar. So you could try to ignore that fact and try to stay above the ground with that one drop of intention hitting the ground. Not ever thinking the fact that one day I'm going to be on the ground. I'm going to be under the ground. The Gemara says that day was one of those days where what? The waves were really strong. You go real high and you go real low, because that's what always happens. When a person chases pleasure, there's the initial high and then there's the big fallout that comes afterwards when you feel, ach, what's wrong with me? Perish yom hayadua. This refers to the known day, right? The big high followed by the crash, namely the day of death. Sha'a nefesh v'ruach ha'sichliyam yalu l'mala shamayim. The day where the high is higher than ever, the neshama goes to its highest place, and the body is lower than ever. The body is more helpless and lower than ever. V'nefesh v'ruach ha'bahamis yardu tohomos. Kamo shenemar, mi yodeya ruach b'nei adam ha'olehi l'mala. Can any of us grasp the heights of the ascent and the fall of the body? We can't imagine how painful it is for the body to go back to the dirt, and we can't imagine how pleasurable it is for the neshama to go to the highest heights. And yet, despite the fact that this is what we should all be contemplating, this person who's caught up in himself and his taiva and his kavod, he never once thinks about that. He just bounces around from one side, one pleasure to the next, living above the ground. Adishamu be'malka, says the Gra, until what was the end of the story, last part of the story? The king finds out, yeah? The king, the word got back to the palace. What does that mean? Perish. Adishamu ma'isav ram be'malchusa derakia. But of course, everything that we do in this world is calculated, and everything is being recorded in the kingdom, in the heavenly court. V'katlu. And it comes time for a person to what? Whether you like it or not. So if Adam Lamus, a person's life comes to an end. You have to realize how much Hashem is trying to give you a chance. Hashem is waiting for you to wake up. Midas Hadin keeps saying, look at this person. Taiva kavod, taiva kavod, taiva kavod, taiva kavod. And the whole time he thinks he's learning Gemara. He thinks he's davening. And he's just a big Baal Gaiva, and a big Baal Taiva, and a big kavod seeker. So Midas Hadin is screaming at Shemayim, Hashem, get rid of this guy, get rid of this guy. He's no good. Make him fall. And Hashem delays until that day, until the day of death. Hashem says, no, give him a chance, give him a chance. Maybe he'll do it l'shem Shemayim. Maybe one day he'll catch up to Horman. Maybe the Talmud Chacham down below, riding the donkey, riding the horse, will find a way to catch up. Hashem is so patient. Hashem carries our iniquity. Hashem waits for that day when a person has no choice other than to what? Where the lease expires, but Hashem wants you to do tshuva. V'chol inyan ha'mayim ra'azeh concludes the Gra. And again, as I tell you every week, says the Gra, this whole maimer, hu almidas hatayva v'akapur. This whole story of Horman is again about a person who's lost his way because of taiva and kavod. Sha'alav nemar, about him it says, ya'alu shemayim yerdu tahomos. A person who's too high and too low. What does that mean? Sha'osei b'torah mitzvos l'chavod. He learns Torah and mitzvos for what? For kavod. He tries to lift himself up, but for the wrong reasons. These are destructive waters. She'echavdu oso v'yale shemayim co. That he should be able to reach co means new heights. Right? He should be lifted to new heights, but it's kavod seeking. V'achar kach yardu tohomos b'tayva. Right? Sometimes it's that same guy who's got the reputation of being such a stark guy. Yeah? He's such a stark guy, right? And everyone gives him tons of kavod, and he's playing the part really well. Right? And then he comes to, I don't know, one of the mashgichim in yeshiva, and he's like, Rebbe, I have to tell you, I'm mamish the lowest guy. Everyone thinks I'm a big tzaddik. Everyone thinks I'm a stark guy. You should see what I do in the privacy of my life. I'm mamish a rasha. I've had that conversation with guys. Guys, you think about the best base measures guy, right? Because he was never learning l'shem shamayim. So his highs are just to get lots of kavod, and his lows are mamish lowly taivadik stuff. Right? He goes into the clutches of the Yetzirah. And therefore what? Says the Gra, last line on the page. Now there's two more lines in the Sefer. But I had Rahmat, I wasn't going to waste another piece of paper. Kill enough trees in a given week with the photocopies. Okay, so just listen to the last line. Says the Gra, again, everything, all of these stories are the travels by sea. And the waves, and the highs, and the lows, and everything, all these stories that we're learning together, again, are all hinted to in the words of David HaMelech in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Zayin. Ya'alu shamayim, yerdu tahomos, nafsham bera tismogag. They ascend to the heights of heavens, and to the lowest depths of hell. Their soul in their evil is tismogag, is torn apart, is ripped apart. And this pasuk, says the Gra, is after the pasuk that came before it, v'teromeim galav, right? The waves are lifted up to great heights. That's midas ha-gaiva. That's what we learned about last time. Last time we learned about a person who's a bal gaiva. And now achar kach, this time we learned about the next pasuk, which is talking about kavod and taiva. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us to learn l'shem shemayim, to do mitzvahs l'shem shemayim. Again, there's supposed to be a division between the upper realm and the lower realm. The upper realm is kodesh kadosh, and the lower part of you is also kodesh. But God forbid we pervert the whole system and turn the whole system into this kavod seeking and taiva seeking, right? To the point that we can't keep up. L'shem Shemayim, the Yetzirah is outrunning us. But nothing's ever going to come from it. You can pretend all day that this is going to produce. It never produces. It's sterile like a mule. And if you think that it's never going to hit the ground, right? Not one drop of it is ever going to spill. Eventually it's going to hit the ground. And therefore, we should have the humility to make a cheshbon and nefesh to serve Hashem l'shem shemayim. All right. Shabbat. It's a lot. No? What do you say? It's a lot. It's so strong.